Many of you may not know me. I'm Colt Mackrell. Just a brief testimony about myself. I was born, raised in Cabot, Arkansas. Was saved at the age of 12 at Faith Missionary Baptist Church in Cabot, Arkansas. Was baptized there at Faith. Brent Summerhill at the time was the pastor. Went to several missions trips to Romania, visiting Brother Jerry, doing mission work alongside him, just to kind of learning and seeing what he did while he was there. The second time I was there, however, the Lord really impressed upon my heart the great need and the great work that he would have me to do in Romania. But specifically, it was there the second time that I felt his call on my life to preach the gospel. And when I came back from Romania, I made that public to my church family there at Faith. And then that fall, attended Little Rock Missionary Baptist Seminary. Spent a couple years there. Was not able to finish my degree there. Instead, I went to CABI in Benton, Arkansas, which is Central Arkansas Baptist Bible Institute. It's another ABA seminary. And from that seminary, I graduated with an Associate's in Bible Studies. The reason I chose that school is because they meet once a week, which worked out because I was a youth and associate and music pastor at a church in Stuttgart, Arkansas, and had to work bivocationally also. So it worked out schedule-wise that I could go to that school. And then we got married, be 6 years this August. Time flies, guys, time flies. And now we have two beautiful daughters, Layla. She's the one sitting in my lap. Layla Rochelle, she is 2 years old. She'll be three. And then we're specifically going to the area of Brasov. And a lot of people have asked me, and it is true. Yes, this is the same area in which Brother Jerry worked at on the field there. We'll be going to the area of Brasov mainly to plant new works, start new churches in the area of Brasov and in the surrounding villages. The country of Romania entirely has roughly 20 million people, but the area of Brasov has roughly 275,000 people in this city. Now, this population is just those that are on the registered census. There are a lot of people who don't make it on the census. Jerry tells me that number, when you look it up on the internet, really is only half true. It's more closer to the 500,000 number there. But this next statistic is what really hits home with me. Less than 1% profess Jesus as Savior. And the reason that speaks to my heart is when I look at the numbers there, 20 million people, the entire population of Romania, less than 1% profess Jesus as their Savior. Now, I've had some people ask me, Brother Colt, where do you come up with that number? Well, I don't come up with it. That comes from research. You look on there and you ask, well, what's the primary religion of Romania? What do they believe? Well, predominantly they believe in Orthodox. Romanian Orthodox Church is the state church. And to my understanding, this church preaches works for salvation. You want to be saved? You've got to work for it. You've got to earn God's favor. You've got to do what the priest says. You've got to go to the church services there. You've got to give your money. They believe that the priest can pray, and if you pay him enough, and he can pray for your loved ones who have already passed away, he can pray for their souls to make it to heaven. Now, brothers and sisters, this is false. This is not what the Bible teaches us. This is not the truth. And this is a startling statistic to me that 90% believe that. And the other percentages, you say, well, that's still a wide margin, brother. You've got about 9% left. What about the other percentages? Well, there's actually a large Muslim population there, too, that believe and profess Islam. There's also Hindu and Buddhism, some of the new Eastern beliefs. And then everything else gets lumped into Protestant. Now, brothers and sisters, we're not Protestants, we're Baptists. Amen. When they look at Protestants, on the survey it says Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Seventh-day Adventist, any other religion that's not of those main ones that's listed there, they throw it into Protestants. And those who will profess that they're Baptist, it says, is 0.89%. This is where I come up with that statistic of less than 1% profess Jesus as Savior. And so our goal is to be on the mission field there in Romania, on the field, by the spring of 2017. But some still ask, why Romania? Now, some of you may remember this picture. Some of you have walked this street here on Walk Street. And everywhere I go so far, I've asked the question, what's the first thing that you see in this picture?
McDonald's.
McDonald's, right. You see McDonald's. The golden arches are the most globally recognized symbol in the world, surpassing that of the cross. But what I notice on Walk Street are the people there. You see all those people? And knowing that 90% profess to believe that they can work their way and earn their way to heaven. 90%. And I look at those faces. And just as Brother Jerry said when he came back from Romania, the look in their eyes, you see they're without hope. That's still true when you go over there. You see that they're without hope. And they need the hope of Jesus. So why Romania? Because people need Jesus. Because people need to hear the gospel. People need to hear that they don't have to work and earn their way to heaven. Amen. That Jesus died on the cross for their sins. That Jesus paved their way. And that all they have to do is repent of their sins and trust in Jesus. That's why Romania. Our other goals are to start more churches there in the Brașov area. We'll be starting churches in the surrounding villages. That building right there is currently vacant. There was a church meeting there in the village called Zarnesht. And this building right here is vacant. And what's interesting about how the Lord burdened on my heart and confirmed His call in our lives to go to Romania. The last time I was there in Romania was last year in 2015. I went on a medical missions trip. And I kept asking Brother Jerry, can we go by Zarnesht? I want to go through that village. But it didn't work out. And I had asked him if the church there in Zarnesht was still meeting. And he said, no, they're not meeting anymore. There had been some sin had happened in the church between the pastor and a young church member girl. And it had split the church. And they're no longer meeting there. And it broke my heart to hear that. But the Lord works in mysterious ways, because as I privately had that conversation with Brother Jerry, Brother Jerry privately had a conversation with some of the members there at the church in Feldawara. And the church in Feldawara has the same burden that I had. They want to see a work started there in Zarnesht again. And what was even more amazing was, unbeknownst to me, they had said to Brother Jerry, it would be wonderful if Brother Colt and Amy would be able to come over here and to help us to go and plant this work. Isn't that amazing how the Lord works? Nobody said that to her. I didn't say, hey, why don't you ask Brother Jerry to say that to him, put a bug in his ear. No, that's just how the Lord works, brothers and sisters. How He puts people together across the country, across the globe. Our second goal will be to train pastors while we're there. The church in Feldawara that I mentioned right now is without pastor. And so our goal will be to train pastors while we're there. There's a seminary that's already established that the missionaries that are on the field, like Brother Kevin Hutchinson, that you guys were so graciously hosted at your missions conference and supported him. And missionaries like that, they are able to use this seminary as a tool to train pastors. And so we'll have the opportunity to work alongside them, to fellowship with them, to help train pastors. Now these two men back here that I have a picture of, Brother Florine and Brother Donnie. Now these two brothers are a blessing because, and they're also, you got to watch out, because Brother Donnie especially, he'll get you in trouble. Especially if you don't know the language. He liked to come up to me, and there's a word in Romania that it for us it translates here, right here, as if he wanted to put something right here, and it's aici, which in English sounds like I itch, and so he'd come up to me and do that all the time and crack me up, and but these two brothers, they'll get up there on Sunday morning, and they'll lead the church of Feldawara in worship and singing praises to the Lord, and they'll get up there and they'll very quickly say, we're not the pastors. But every Sunday morning, brothers and sisters, they get up there and they lead them in Bible studies. They lead them in teaching them Bible stories and how they're supposed to go out and live in the community in which they live. And it's just wonderful to see them do that. But the church is praying that the Lord will send them a man to be their pastor. Our other goal that we'll do while we're in Romania is to help with the humanitarian relief work. Lena Street Baptist Church right now is in care overseeing this humanitarian relief work. Previously, it was under the care of Faith Missionary Baptist Church, which I was a member at previously in Arkansas. And now Langdon Street has this work. And we'll get to use this ministry to our advantage, because this ministry here helps children and helps families by supporting the humanitarian efforts. We're able to provide families in need with a bag of grocery staples once monthly and help with the serious medical needs that arise. And brothers and sisters, when we use that tool to help people with their urgent physical needs, that opens the door for us to help with their urgent spiritual needs. And that gives us the opportunity to share the gospel with them, brothers and sisters. So, and this family here in this picture that you see, Amy, having her arms around all those women there, Sister Mundra, is in the red shirt there. She's a widow, and she's a faithful member of the church in Feldawara. And all those women surrounding her are her daughters, and all those children are her granddaughters. And she helps to support them. And the humanitarian relief work helps to support her by helping her provide her with groceries on a monthly basis, and then also the serious medical needs that arise. And we're also able to go in and to work with hospice when they'll work with us, and when we get an opportunity, we'll get to go into the orphanages that are there also. And it's just a wonderful way and a wonderful tool for us to share the gospel with those people also. Our personal needs, first and foremost, are your prayers. When I left the last time in Romania, the children's Sunday school there in Feldawara gave us all a gift bag, those of us who were on the medical missions team. And in my bag was mainly gifts for Amy and the girls, but they also given me a pen. And on the pen it said, Nimic fără Dumnezeu, which means nothing without God. And ever since then, I've always remembered that. And I had to ask Sister Savina, I said, what does this mean? Because I'm still learning the language. She said, it says nothing without God. And that stuck with me, brothers and sisters, because whether we're on deputation or whether we're on the field, we can do nothing without God. And so we need the prayers of our brothers and sisters back home in the States. We're asking churches to prayerfully consider becoming monthly financial partners. And the reason I worded it that way is because we're giving not only churches the opportunity to pray about becoming financial support partners, but also individuals. Maybe the Lord leads you individually to help support us on the mission field also. And we're asking people to pray about that. Some of our needs financially will be airfare and travel. Travel to Romania one way is it's very expensive. Two ways, some of you know, going a round trip is very expensive. So we'll need finances for airfare and travel. One thing we'll need for deputation specifically is a van for deputation. This is one of our needs that the Lord has already blessed us in helping us meet this need. It's not been met just yet, but it's well on the way, brothers and sisters. We're not even a month, barely 2 months into deputation, and the Lord has already saw fit to help us in this area. A church out of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, Summit Baptist Church, heard of our need for a van for a deputation, and they had voted that they would start a fundraiser that other churches, whether it's in Arkansas or Kentucky or wherever, wanted that they heard of it, they could be a part of it by sending money to them and to this fundraiser under Mackerel Vehicle Fund to be a part of that. And brothers and sisters, we just got word this past week that we've already raised about $7,000 in that. That's amazing. It's not even been a couple weeks since they voted to do this. The Lord has just already provided in wonderful ways that I can't even begin to imagine and fathom. It's just amazing. You know, you begin to doubt, you know, along the way. Lord, I don't know how you're going to provide. I don't know how you're going to do it. But brothers and sisters, when the Lord is in it, He's going to provide a way. Amen. And finally, in our personal needs, and the reason we wanted this in our personal needs is because of the wonderful ministry tool that it's going to be. Maybe the Lord doesn't lead you to support us on our mission field financially, but maybe the Lord would lead you as a church or as an individual to support the humanitarian relief work. And how that helps us personally is because the tool that we'll get to use that for. The ministry tool, witnessing and opening the door to present the gospel to others that are have great physical needs. And so that's why we're including that on our needs. All right. So that's the end of the presentation. Brother, how are we doing on time? Okay, I know we started a little bit late, did we? Okay, we're good. Late, all right. All right then. I don't want to go over anything like that. I want to be respectful of your time. But if you have your Have your Bibles. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10, verse 34. If you have any questions for us, feel free to ask us at the end of services this evening. We'll be back at our tables. We have some prayer cards we'd love for you to pick up, you know, just to be a part of it. I'm just so thankful for you guys here at Mount Hebron. You have already been a part of our ministry on the mission field already, not just by having us here this evening, but when we came up to Lexington for Amy's heart procedure, we had some car trouble come up, and Brother Paul Allen graciously stepped in and helped us out. And so you guys have already been a part of that through him. And so we're just so thankful for the part that you guys have already played in our ministry and our mission work. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Very familiar passage to each and every one of you. I'm sure you've heard this many, many times. But I want to share with you something that the Lord has burdened my heart with in this passage. It's just really struck my heart. And it's caused me to look within my own heart and myself, and to make sure that I'm not guilty of this. To make sure that I continue to not be guilty of this. Many of you are familiar with this story. It's about Cornelius, the Roman centurion. He sees a vision, and an angel of the Lord appears before him, and the angel of the Lord says what? Your alms to the poor and your prayers to the Lord have been heard. But he says to do what? Go get Peter. He has a message for you. So he sends men to go get Peter. But as Peter is at the house of Simon the Tanner, he's up on the roof, he's getting hungry, he's praying. He sees a vision too. It's a hunter's favorite vision, amen? He sees all these animals, a sheet rolled down, and all these animals, clean and unclean alike. And what does the Lord say to Peter? Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter says what? No! No, Lord. Why? He says, I've never eaten anything unclean according to the Jewish customs. And the vision happened about three times, but the Lord responded to him back with what? What I have made clean, do not call unclean. Now let me ask you this. Was the Lord just talking about animals? No. Because what had happened with the Jewish custom that the Lord had established in the Old Testament between clean and unclean animals? Well, the Jewish leaders and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had taken it beyond just animals to people. There was a group of people that they hated, the Samaritans, but there was a group of people, the Gentiles, that they refused to be around. They were unclean. They were unclean to the Jews. And Peter followed this custom. And so Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. He preaches the gospel to them. And what happens? They believe. They get saved. And then they receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Jewish brothers that are there with Peter, they're just blown away that the Gentiles could receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And look what Peter says in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Wow! Wow! Amen! That God is not a respecter of persons. That God does not judge the way humans judge people. That when we look at a person, we look at their ethnicity, we look at their race, we look at the color of their skin. God looks at their heart. God looks down in them and He sees a soul that He died for on the cross. And He is not a respecter of persons. Because His message of salvation is to all people. Look at what Peter says next. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And you jump down to the end of this paragraph, and he says in verses 41 through 43 says, "Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Did you catch what Peter says here? To him, he is the judge of the quick and the dead. Brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that I'm guilty, that we are guilty sometimes of being the judge of the quick and the dead. That we will sit there and decide, well, based upon this criteria, I will not witness to this person. I'm guilty of it. Based upon this, I won't witness to him. I'll keep my mouth shut. Fear of rejection, fear of whatever. Maybe it is like Jonah. You have a hatred of that person, of those people. I refuse to preach the gospel to them. I refuse to be a witness to them. Brothers and sisters, we are not the judge of the quick and the dead, but the Lord is. But he has given us a command. He says to do what? Preach unto the people and testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Much like Paul, who went and he saw all the idols at the city of Athens, and he said, "I perceive that you are a spiritual and religious people." And he said, "Let me tell you about this unknown God." And he told him what? He told them what? There is a judgment day coming. There is a day of judgment coming where you will stand accountable for your sins. Brothers and sisters, this message you and I have been commissioned by the King of Kings to go and proclaim. This same Paul said that we are ambassadors of the ministry of reconciliation, ambassadors of the King of Kings who has commissioned us to go and preach the gospel. To who? To all people. Because God is not a respecter of persons. And so, two things I want to challenge you with in closing this evening. Two things. One, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior this evening, you stand under the condemnation of a holy and righteous God. And there is nothing that you can do to make yourself clean and righteous and holy before Him. There is no good work that you will be able to stand before Him and plead righteousness and plead that you are guiltless. But rather, I urge you to trust and put your faith and trust in the only one who can bring remission of your sin. And that is through Jesus Christ, amen, His only begotten Son. And that free gift this evening is for you. And all you must do is accept it. That's all you have to do is accept it. And I urge you to do that this evening. But for those of you who have accepted that free gift of God, who are saved, I challenge you with this. And I'll give you this illustration. This famous comedian, who's a well-known atheist, was handed at the end of one of his shows. A gentleman comes up to him and has a brief conversation with him and hands him a Gideon New Testament. Now you're thinking, he's a well-known atheist. Why would you waste your time giving him a Greek New Testament? He doesn't believe in God. Well, see, this man wasn't a judge of the quick and the dead. Just because he was a well-known atheist, he didn't think, "I'm not going to waste my time on this man," but rather gives him a New Testament. Blown away by the fact that this and the courage that this man would do this in public, he goes home, the atheist, and he posts on Facebook, of all places, a video. And he poses this question: how much do you have to hate someone to not share the gospel? Now, this is an atheist. He never said that he professed Jesus as his Savior. But he said, if you as a Christian believe that you can possess eternal life and forgiveness of sins, how much do you have to hate someone to not tell them? Brothers and sisters, may we be the love of Jesus everywhere we go by presenting people with the choice of repenting of their sin
and trusting in Jesus as their Savior. This is not just the call that Amy and I and Layla and Eliza will have in Romania, but it's here right now while we're here in Kentucky, while we're here in Garrett County, while we're in Somerset, while you're here in Garrett County. This is our call to go and to proclaim this love that God has shown to us. Brother Grant.